Well, folks, now Brother Pat is going to come up and introduce our guest speaker, somebody we're very blessed to have, Brother Max. And individually, but collectively as a church, Brother Max, we have been praying for you, for the message that God has put in your heart to bring to us, and for the privilege to share our collective affection to the Lord this morning. It is with joyful hearts that we welcome you to our church, and we pray your blessings over your entire time you are here in this country. May God use you in a powerful way to bless everybody who is privileged for you to go before. We truly pray for that. And Brother Pat, as you introduce him, you know as well or better than I do, we've all been looking forward to this day, and we thank the Lord in advance for his blessings to us. Brother Pat.
It's a joy for me to be able to introduce this brother to you. Max and I have known each other for 20 years or more, I suppose. And he just a few things about him. I'll tell you, the song we just sang, that's his ministry. The Lord speak to me, and we ought to pray that. That ought to be our theme, I feel like. Lord, speak to me, that I may speak. Speak to me that I may do. And Max's mission and everything that he does is discipling other people. And you'll see all of the materials, that, and I'm not going to go through all of them now, but we'll have these handouts down there all together. Here's one, two, three. There's about five, six things that he's involved in and his team that works with him in Ukraine. Max is the senior pastor of the Christian church at Makarov. See ya. Makarov is the pistol that I have, but Makarov, it's a difference.
It's almost the same, just spiritual.
Just spiritual, right. This is the spiritual weapon, right. But the city has gone through a lot, and I'm not going to say a lot. Brother Max is the senior pastor of the church there. He's involved in the other Christian groups in Ukraine, and he'll be talking about that some this afternoon. I'm looking forward. I've looked at the slides already, and I'm really excited about the presentation this afternoon. But more than that, I'm excited about the Word of God this morning. And it's the Word of God, and we've been praying. I know Max has been praying. He's been up since 1:30, so he's all sharp and ready to go now. And so pray for him. And he has his wife and then two sons, and pray for his family. And in these last 3 years, especially the first year of the invasion, Max and his, they went through a lot. A lot of fear. And yet the Lord helps to overcome fear, doesn't he? Danger, and the Lord has brought him through, and others. And I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for his ministry. And so pray for him now as he comes to bring us the gospel, and pray for ourselves that, Lord, speak to me that I may hear. That's my prayer. Love you, brother.
Dear church, brothers and sisters, for me it's a great privilege to be here with you and share with you what God has put in my heart. And thank you so much for your hospitality. And I apologize for my English. This is my weak point. And that's why I will use my notes while I will preach. And forgive me my mistakes. Help me if you know right words and I'm not. Okay? And I will... I used to pray the gift of tongues. Gift of American language. Okay. what I want to talk about. I want to talk about my sermon is about secret of his power. Secret of his power. Do you know that how big God's power in us? I mean in you, personally, in you. Do you know how tremendous power of God in within you? What it depends on, how do you experience it, or do you experience it at all? Do you satisfy with that, or are you still hungry with that? Okay, I'm a Baptist. It's okay. I'm not charismatic stuff. This, but I read the Bible, and my Bible teach me so. Be honest, not everybody knows about this power, and that's why Apostle Paul prays that believers in Ephesus might realize how big this power are in them. And I read this message from Ephesians chapter 1, it from 17 to 20. From 17 to 20.
Ephesians chapter 1.
Ephesians. Thank you. Help me if I... Let's do it sermon together, okay? But I rely more on spirit, and I rely on the word of God more than my ability to speak brightly. But word of God speak bright. Okay. Ephesians 1, 17 to 20. That the God of our Lord Jesus, this is a prayer of Apostle Paul. He pray that Ephesians, people from Ephesus, understand the following. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of the glory, may give you to your spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so you may know what is the hope of the calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and this is our verse next. And what is incomparable greatness of his power toward us who believe. It is working of his mighty power, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in a heavenly presence, places. And see what it says. It says about incomparable greatness of his power toward us. Do you seriously believe that this is truth? Are you experience this truth? Okay. What does it depend on? We understand that this is the same power, the power of Holy Spirit, The same power that raised Christ from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly place. This is not only place in the in Ephesians where Paul says about it mighty power. And I suggest you one more verse. This is chapter 3, verse 20. This is also the end of the another prayer. There are two prayers. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably beyond all that we ask or think, accordingly to his power that works within us. Same idea. Mighty power. Immeasurably beyond that all what we ask or think or dream, this power his works in us. Do you experience that? How it works? How does it work? How it should work? Or you can share how it works in your life. This is not religion slogans. I invite you to really ask serious questions. Does it work in me? Does it work in you? Let's talk about this honestly. What Paul is it mean? Are you experiencing that in your daily life? For me, it's an important question. It always touched my heart. And, okay, imagine this is level. This is where we are. And this is level what we ask for. This is here, yeah? This is we are now, and we pray, we dream, we ask for this level, yes? Or just a little bit higher. This, okay, this. Me, this, okay. Where is the level unmeasurably beyond this level? Where? On silent, silence. Okay. This verse says that here we are, here we dream for, and this is unmeasurably beyond. Okay. God can. He is able to do immeasurably beyond all we ask or dream. Okay. Tell me, please, what word in this verse you don't like most of all? What word is said for us? What do you think? I'm serious. Ask about. Be honest. What? Do you have some idea? Something bothering you in this world? I tell you. This word, able. Who is able? This is about God. I know that God able do what he created word. No questions, no word. He is able. how it relate to me, how this Abel transform is definitely doing you. Do you understand what I say? No problem with God. He's mighty, strong, almighty, great. No problem with that. Problem with me. How it does work? How is guiding my almighty God works in me? How turn on this word? This is my question. What do you think? Are you agree with me? You at least you understand me, what I mean. I want experience God. I really want experience God. And my Bible promised me that God doing that. But this is a puzzle for me. How can I open this puzzle and understand how I can experience God's power in me? But no problem with God, His hand. And our task for today, for this sermon, to solve this question. Where is the key to open this? Do you have any idea? Do you have an answer on this question? In our churches where I am a pastor, and people answering idea, the suggested idea from the places. Okay.
I think we're not asking and thinking. It's above all that we ask or think. We're not asking or thinking.
Yeah. Okay. Super. I understand that you understand question. And we can go ahead. Good answers. Thank you. It's very, very, it's helpful. Okay. How we are going to deal with it? What do we find the answer? To go in charismatic church? Really, it does not work. I tried in my past. It doesn't work. I want to have a real, okay? If you studied homiletics, do you know the Bible theology homiletics? One of the important principles of homiletic is the context is a king, and he rules the interpretation. If you want to understand something, see in the context. And we, with you, now jump in a context. Let's look at the contents. This verse is the last phrase of second prayer of Apostle Paul in this letter. Okay? And both his prayer finished with power of God. Okay? And the closest context of this verse is verse 19. Ephesians 3:19. This is verse before. And to know, Paul prayed that we know the love of Christ which past knowledge, that you might be filled with all fullness of God. What is the word here that says the power of God or strength of God? This is, it called it here, fullness of God. Fullness of God. And so the worst hold us key to answering the questions how to turn on God's power in us. It says, know that God loves you. So if you know that God loves you, you are filling with power of God, fullness of God. The more you understand God loves you, the more you will feel the fullness of God. Text says this. And I want to make a two conclusion that we can draw from this verse. Conclusion number one. Our completeness with God, God's power in us depends on how much we really realize that God loves us. This number one. This very simple. Paul prayed that Ephesians realize how God loves us. And this is one of the most truths. This is really, the more we realize God loves, I mean personally loves us, the more we feel the fullness of God in us. This is a very important conclusion. And this answer of my questions. How can I be filled with fullness of God? I have understand how God loves me. We need to remember that. We have to understand how God loves us. We need to remember it for the rest of our lives. We need to remember that more than how is your name. But the questions become next. How do we know that God loves us? Scripture says, this verse says, that his love surprises reason. And we sometimes find that hard to believe that God really loves us. If that leads us to the next conclusion, God's love is hard to comprehend. It surprises comprehension. It's not easy sometimes. I found that much easier to understand and believe in greatness of God, in omnipresence of God, in his power, that he loves me personally. I explain you why. Because I see a lot of people around me that are strong and all power men. Trump, Elon Musk, Putin, Zelensky, Warren Buffett, Amazon, many power men. There are a lot of them around me. And do you know what that they have in common? All them have one common thing. They don't love me. Can you imagine? They even don't know about me. They don't know that I exist. I'm used to understand that, and I understand that I have not to rely on such a strong people. I have to rely on myself. This is normal. You understand? And that's why for me sometimes hard rely on God, because God is one of the strong. He is strongest, no problem. But it's far away. Trump is far away. Could you invite Trump on presentation that today, 2 p.m. will be? Could you invite him? I think that would be a good idea to share with him ministry in Ukraine. And he will not come. He is far away. And the rest far away. And sometimes I used to think that God is far away, because I am weak, I am small. Probably God is not excited with my sins, with my weaknesses, and understand what I say. It's for me, it's easy to believe that God is strong, that God is loves me. The other problem that we try to find love of God in circumstances around us. And the circumstances can be difficult. I understand that God loves America. But what about Ukraine? I do not understand that God loves Ukraine. If God loves me, I was born in America. But I was born in Ukraine. How can I understand that God loves me? If you have a cerebral palsy or cancer, how it's sometimes difficult to understand that God loves. If your son died on the war, how can understand that God loves us? Sometimes it's difficult. Do you understand what I say? It is what we stumble with or what we're stuck in our souls. Probably we not proclaim it in churches. It's hidden struggle in the soul. I just open it and let's think about it. This is important. If you believe that God loves you much above whatever you can imagine, you will feel with fullness of God, fullness with God's power. And I look for, I repeat that. Is my English understandable? Yeah. A little bit? Okay? Okay. Usually preacher know all answer on all questions. He always strong, nice, very good look like Jesus Christ. But in reality, we are weak, struggle. We are, and I need your help. My English is poor and very bad, and I need your help. So, okay. So, how do we understand God's love? How can I pass through all this is barriers that hide from me love of God? There is only one place where God proved his love to us, and this is a cross. Romans 5:8, but God showed his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we see on the cross, we see that amount of his love is incredible. Nobody give his son for you and for me. And this is the only place where can I understand that God is serious with me. He is God. He loves me. Despite of all circumstances around me, God really loves me. And cross from God give us this understanding and give us power from God. In our translation, says God not show, but God prove. He proved his love. He really proved. When we understand God's love, we are filled with God's power. It is basically simply logic. You will then say, but if so, important, but that the Bible should say more about it. And really, Bible says a lot about it. See, the same idea, reflect, 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to those of us who are being saved is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. This is our conclusion. Paul said this directly. Or Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everybody who believes. In the past, I used to think that this verse for unbelievers. This is gospel is the power of God for unbelievers. I understand this. We preach, they repent, come to church and so. But it doesn't say that. It says that gospel is the power of God for believers, for us. And I ask how it works. It works the same way how I just explained. It is power of God when you hear the gospel, see on the cross, and from cross you receive power of God. Okay? And little children in Sunday school have a song and hear that gets the point. Jesus loves me, that I know, so my Bible tells me so. This is very simple, but very wise, very wise. Okay, conclusion. A little bit later we will final conclusion, but this conclusion. How do I move mountains with this power? This is a good question. I'm afraid that you now a little bit regret and say, oh, I know that God loves me. This is not a big deal. Everybody knows that. But how can I move power? How can I move mountains with this power? This is a real question. Do you understand me what I say? Okay. Do you understand my law? You don't understand my English, but do you understand my logic? Yeah? Okay. I know you're smart. And you understand all that. Okay? A conclusion, final point of the sermon. How do I move mountains with this power? Okay. 33 minutes I'm here. I need 30 minutes yet. Could you give me? You sure? Yeah, thank you. Okay. This is a questions that apostles ask the Lord Jesus Christ. You can just carefully hear. Okay, this is Luke 17:5-6. And the apostles say to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree or fig tree, I don't know, okay, be plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Okay? Apostles ask Lord, increase our faith. And Lord says, if you have faith with mustard seed, you can create a great miracle. Nobody in the Bible did this. Nobody. Okay? And apostle thinks. Apostle. Yes, Lord. You're right. Understand what I ask. You're right. The mustard seed is the smallest seed. And it means that the smallest faith every believer has. Every born again, we have different faith. Somebody more, somebody less, okay? But everybody has the smallest faith. You agree? It means that everybody can move a mountain. Okay? Do you understand my logic? Okay. Okay, nobody sleep. This is good. This is my aim. You're not sleeping. Okay? So the conclusion will be drawn is that the person with the smallest faith is capable of greatest miracle. The question you asking me now, then why aren't we doing it? Why we don't do it if it everybody has it? And this next questions, Jesus Christ answering in the continuation of these words. And this continuation is 7 verses to 10. He says, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him when he has come in from the field, go sit down to eat? Will he not rather say to him, make something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me until I eat and drink, and afterwards you shall eat and drink? Thus he talked that servants, because he did as he has commanded. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded of you, say, we are unworthy servant, we have merely done our duty. Simply saying, moving a mountain, this is not according our desire, this is according desire of God. We all able to be his instrument, but we want to decide what move we want for our glory. Jesus, joke, anecdote. How in English anecdote? Joke. Okay. Guy is praying. God, please bless my preaching on a stadium, and I want 1,000 people repent. God answered him from heaven, go to the hospital. And there is the one guy preached to him. and this guy, no, God, no, I don't want a hospital. I want a stadium. And God say, okay, go in stadium. But if so, I am a hospital. So this is what happened with us when we want move the mountains. God says, you not the Lord, I'm a Lord. And I will tell you what move and when. This is not depend on you, but your faith is enough, completely enough to do what I want. And this is your task, this is your task, this is your task. And when God uses you, you feel that God uses you. And I ask to bring a glove, like illustration. See, this glove, this is like a man. This glove like a man without Holy Spirit. And these gloves almost it weak. Can it gloves to keep this Bible? What do you think? No. It weak. It's so weak that it cannot move this small Bible. No, this is not a mountain. This is just Bible. But if Holy Spirit come in man, This is the same gloves, but you see the difference. You are absolutely feel another way. You can experience this in your life. Sometimes you understand that you have to do this, and no weak, no strong, no ability, and you cannot do it. Sometimes nobody asks you. You feel you're strong. You feel, and this is a God's presence, and God knows a plans for you. What He is doing through you, and He is very. God always know what He is want to do. We don't. He knows. And He knows whom He can use. He always use somebody. And bad news is that God can act without us. This is horrible news. God already 2,000 years acts without us. It's horrible. But this is fact. And our prayer, God, use us. God, I want you to use me. Okay. Seriously. If God wants do something through you according your place, according your responsibility. Maybe your role is grow a child who will be a great missionary. 1,000 people or nations will be covered with the gospel or something. We don't know. But everybody has his role. And we have to know that God has His plan for us, and His almighty power acts in us directly to these roles, not like we want, like He. And when we do all what we have to do, we have to say we are unworthy servant. God says this should be your thinking, unworthy servant. I make Bible counseling a lot, and always I talk people whom I serve. God can use me, or God cannot use me. It's up to Him. I will try. I do the best. I try to be, to prepare myself, but it's up to Him. And I understand that God cannot use me. I won't. But we are unworthy servant. How behave itself unworthy servant? So, okay. Now, final conclusion. This will be conclusion. Final conclusion. The questions with final conclusion, Stefan. What do we do then? Okay, I hear all this. What do we do? What do we do then? And I say, savor God. This is a new word for me, savor, a delight, or pleasure, or rejoice. Rejoice with God. Relax and rejoice with God. Taste Him. Rejoice. Our greatest joy in life should not be tied to our achievements. It must be connected to God. Do you see the difference? What we delight with God, or we delight with our deeds, achievements, miracles. How God used me? Huh? See the difference? And this is, I want you to be happy after the sermon. I want you to understand where is your happiness live. How to be happy? Because there is a difference between achievements and between God. See, Luke 10:20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. See the difference? If our main joy, our happiness, is tied to achievements, different. Miracles, spirit subject to you, or whatever else, then we are idolatrous. If our main joy in life, God, it's okay. You really be happy. Fullness of joy before His face. Our greatest joys should not be our achievement. This is very important because I am a man. For man, achievements very important. Success is an idol. Success. And it makes us unhappy, and we're looking God idolatry way. We won't use Him for feed our idolatry. Give me success. Give me God. Give me success. I want to be successful. I want to preach gospel for thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But this is idolatry desire. God will no answer of that. God wants Himself be the greatest joy in our life. How we can delight Him? What is the best rejoicing? It should bring peace, joy in my life. And do you know how I name it? Our greatest joy, according to this verse, is the joy of belonging. The joy of belonging. Tonight, I will share with you how God acts in my life, in ministry where He used me. And for me, this is, I like it, but this is not my greatest joy. My greatest joy is that I belong to Him and He belongs to me. He is my God and I'm not mine. I'm His. Me, nothing. I sell myself. I sell my soul to Jesus Christ. He bought it on a cross. He gave me Himself, and I'm not exist anymore. In you understand? He lives in me, and I'm retired. I'm sell myself to be a servant, and this should be the greatest joy. Free me from idol of success. I will be happy just because of him. Song 6, chapter 6, 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved's is mine. It means I belong to my beloved's, and my beloved is mine, belong to me. The same. Or Song 7, chapter 7, verse 10. I am my beloved, and his desire is toward me. The joy of belonging. This is the greatest joy of any marriage. Man in marriage, happy. His marriage, his joy in marriage, that his wife belonged to him. And his wife rejoice at that her husband belong to her. The joy of marriage, this is a joy of belonging. This is a joy of belonging. And this comes from heaven. God is the man, church is the bride. Bride. This is exclusively belonging. And why is adultery destroyed marriage? Because adultery destroyed belonging. Just thinking. If you have to lose all, what you lose at the end, only at the end, the last one, I would answer this question, I would lose last one belonging. And I cannot lose it at all. This is the most important treasure in my life and in your life. Belonging. You belong to us. Heidelberg Catechism or Westminster Catechism. Question number one. What is your great joy in your life? My greatest joy that I'm not myself. I belong to my Savior. La, 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 la. This is the key of our happiness. And we're happy with that. We're satisfied with that. We rejoice and we shine with our rejoice. And we not suffer from, I'm not so smart, I'm not so nice, I'm not so beauty, I'm not successful, I have not such a car, I have da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We already happy with belonging. Total, finally. God is given, has given us the joy of the marriage with him. I don't belong to him, he belongs to me. Enjoy this and be faithful, and he definitely knows how he will use it. Understand that he loves you because you belong to him. He died for you. He loved you. And he will fulfill through you whatever he wants. And this is dependent on not on you. This is dependent on him. Rely on him. Your faith is sufficient for any miracle and any deed, any feat he chooses to accomplish through you. And we, one day, we will be able to say to him, we, unworthy servant, we have merely done our duty. May God bless us to understand this, to rejoice with this, and serve to our Lord with this. Amen. Can I pray?
Please.
Yeah, let's stand and pray together. Thank you, Father, for how mighty you are, how lovely you are. God, you are the greatest treasure in our lives. We just want to say to you that we love you. God, you can use us like you want, God. Not us, but you. You decide where we go, what we're going to do. Put your desires in our heart. We love you. We wanted to experience you in all our ways. Be with us, teach us, make us your instrument, and do it for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.